I'll tell you what, I don't think that I can preach any better than those two songs just did. I'll tell you what, the blood of Jesus Christ. They're trying to take it out of the Bible, the perversions.
Yeah.
Trying to take the blood out of the hymn books.
Yep.
Doesn't change the fact that without the blood there is no remission of
Amen.
Sins. And boy, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that song. Appreciated that song as well, too.
Yes, it did. You know,
the death, Christ's death reconciled us to him, the Bible says in Romans 5 and verse 10. But much more, it says, we're saved by his life. And the fact that Jesus Christ rose again means that we have life in him. Boy, those are good songs.
Amen.
And pretty close to changing my message, but we're not going to. Go ahead and open your Bible to the book of Mark, chapter 4. Pastor, I do appreciate the opportunity. Thank you for your confidence, if you want to call it that, in me to be able to be up here tonight. Don't take it lightly at all. And I just appreciate the opportunity. Mark chapter 4, and if you would stand as we give honor and reverence to God's holy word, we'll begin reading in verse 35. Mark chapter 4, verse 35, "And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. When they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. There arose a great storm of wind. The waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight. I thank you for your word. Lord, I just thank you for how you've set the stage tonight with the singing, and Lord, I just give you all the honor and the glory for that. I pray now that you would truly hide me behind the cross. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. I pray that the things that are said tonight would only be those things that you would want your people to hear tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want to preach tonight on a subject, a topic that I believe that most people in this world are searching after, and that is peace. We see an example here of Jesus Christ, the Lord of peace, a very vivid example of how he is able to bring peace. You know, we are surrounded by people, and I'm not just talking about people on the outside of the walls of this building. There are people here tonight that are seeking after peace in their life. If you're anything like me, which I hope you're not a lot like me, but if you're anything like me, there's been times in your life where you've sought for peace. Maybe that time is now. If it's not now, and if it hasn't been in the past, trust me, the time is coming in your life when you're going to be seeking after peace. Webster's Dictionary defines peace as a state of quiet or tranquility, freedom from agitation by the passions of fear, terror, anger, anxiety, or the like. Anybody in here tonight experience fear, anger, anxiety? We already know about Pastor is self-proclaimed when he's driving down the road and somebody cuts him off, and the anger, amen? But no, peace. I think the opposite of peace would be strife, discord, fear, anguish, disorder, and confusion. Unfortunately, too many Christians live a life without the peace of God in their lives. So we want to talk tonight about the peace of God. And in order for us to have peace, every believer, I believe, must realize where the source of peace is, but also must realize that there are steps that you must take as a believer in order for you to take advantage of and experience the peace in the midst of the storms that you are facing. And I know you're facing storms tonight. But first and foremost, before an individual can experience the peace of God, a man or a woman must be at peace with God.
Yeah.
Before you can ever have that peace, that tranquility, that freedom from fear and terror and anger, you've got to be at peace with God. You see, the Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 10, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." You see, the opposite of being at peace with God is being an enemy of God. If you're here tonight and you have never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I mean, you've never known and admitted that you were a sinner on your way to hell without Jesus Christ and received him, you're an enemy of God. You say, "Well, Brother Mike, I'm not out there and I'm not putting my fist in God's face. I'm here in church tonight." Doesn't matter. If you've never received Jesus Christ, the Bible says you're an enemy of his. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 21 says, "And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled." Each and every one of us, before we accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, we were literally an enemy of Christ. And you may be an enemy of Christ tonight and not even know it. But let me help you out here a little bit. If you are seeking for peace and you're not finding it, it could be because you're an enemy of Jesus Christ. You're not at peace with God. There are a lot of things that this world has out there that will try to fill the void and make you believe that you have peace in your heart. You see, the world throws all sorts of things out at us. Entertainment, amusement. You know what amusement is, right? To muse means to actually think about something. All of these things that we put in front of us, muse, that's the absence of thought. The television. How many of us are actually thinking when we're sitting there in front of the television, right? But hey, it's a great way to get away from the fact that we don't have peace in our lives, isn't it? Right. So many people today in this world are seeking after all of these temporary fixes to the peace, the void that exists in your life. You've heard Pastor over and over again about his testimony before he was saved. And we walk out of the bar at night and look up and say, "There's got to be something more." If you're here tonight and you walk out and you're looking around and you say, "There's got to be something more to my life," I'm telling you, there is. Amen. There's something more, and that something more is Jesus Christ. Amen. Died on the cross of Calvary for your sins. Rose again the third day according to the Scripture. Yeah. And you can have peace once you've made peace with God by accepting Jesus Christ. It's a Sunday night, though. And I don't know, there might be one or two here that don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. But for the most part, I know that I'm talking to saved folks. And like I said, the sad thing is that oftentimes we as Christians go through life without experiencing peace in our heart. We don't have the peace of God in our lives. And it's very easy not to have that peace. And all you got to do is turn on the television and see what's going on around us. You see the world and the way that it is. You see what's happening in our own country. High schools, kids go to high schools and shoot other kids. Just everything going on in this world. And it's easy for us to get caught up in that. Easy for us to have anxiety. Easy for us to have fear and distress because of what's going on around us. Maybe it's sin in your own life that you have anxiety over. You can't have peace because of the sin in your own life. I want to talk to you tonight about how you can get the peace of God. Because sadly, so many Christians struggle and never ever have peace. I got to admit to you tonight that there have been dark times in my life when I thought when the peace of God was nothing more than a distant memory, something that I would look back on and wish for and hope for. You can have that peace tonight if you're an individual like that that's looking back, desiring the peace that maybe you once had. But the first thing you're going to have to do is understand the source of peace, amen? The God of peace. I'm here to tell you tonight that in order to have the peace of God, you've got to realize that the God that you have is the God of peace. He is the source of peace. Why is it that we so many times go to the wrong source for the things that we need? We're looking for love, and we go to the world and their definition of love in order to find love. We're looking for faith, and we go to people who don't have faith and try to get faith from the wrong source. Here is the source of faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's not something you're going to muster up in your own mind or in your own soul. You get into the Word of God in order to get faith. And I'm here to tell you tonight, if you lack peace in your life, you've got anxiety in your life and you lack peace, you must go to the source of peace. And that is the God of peace. Romans chapter 15 and verse 33 says, "Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen." Over in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9, the Apostle Paul wrote, "These things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you." Again in Romans 16 and verse 20, "And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly." Hebrews 13, 20, "Now the God of peace that brought you again from the dead, our Lord Jesus." I'm here to tell you, if you need peace tonight, you must go to the right source. And that source is God Almighty, the God of peace. And you know what? He desires for you to have peace. God does not desire for His children to be walking around constantly living in fear, constantly living in confusion, constantly living with turmoil, anxiety. That's not what God wants. He desires for us to have peace. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 16 says, "Now the Lord of peace Himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all." Our God desires for us to live a life that is filled with His peace. So the question tonight is, are you living that life of peace? Or are you living a life that is just full of anxiety, full of fear? The first thing that you've got to do is understand the source of peace, that it is God Almighty, the God of peace. You need to understand that He desires for you to have peace. Our God is a holy, a righteous, and a jealous God. That is true. And yes, if you're sinning, you're not going to get away with it. He is going to chasten you. But so many times we have the picture of God as a God that is just standing around the corner waiting for us to mess up so that He can drop the hammer on us. God loves us, and whom the Lord loveth, He will chasten. But let me tell you, once you get that right with Him, He desires to restore you to peace. He doesn't want to just keep pounding you and pound you down to the ground and kick you while you're down. He wants you to get it right so that He can restore peace in your life. You know, the birth of Jesus Christ was the inception of peace. Luke chapter 2 and verse 14 says, "Glory to God in the highest," the angel said, "and on earth peace, goodwill to men." God desired so strongly for us to have the peace of God that He sent His only begotten Son on this earth, born in a manger, living a sinless, perfect life so that we could have peace. All throughout His ministry on earth, even though He primarily was to the house of Israel, and we know they didn't receive Him, He didn't bring peace to Israel at that time. As a matter of fact, He says that He caused division and strife. He was still able in His ministry on earth to bring peace to the lives of those individuals who trusted in Him. Over in Mark chapter 5 and verse 34, the lady that had the issue of blood, after Christ healed her, He said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." Then over in Luke chapter 7, you see the story of Mary of Bethany, who's there that broke the alabaster box of spikenard, you know, and anointed the feet of Jesus Christ. At the end of that passage, Christ said unto the woman, "Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace." The Apostle Paul was perhaps one of the greatest examples of somebody who experienced the peace of God. We're talking about somebody who started out as an enemy of Jesus Christ. Pastor Dave talked about it in his Sunday school lesson this morning. Go ahead and turn there real quick to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9 and verse 1. "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem." I'm talking about an enemy of Jesus Christ. It was this enemy of Jesus Christ that in the end of nearly all of his epistles writes, "The God of peace be with you." Because the Apostle Paul started out as an enemy of Jesus Christ, was able to experience the peace. "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ," is what he was able to say eventually. Our Lord's desire is to guide us in the way of peace. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 79, he says, "To give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." So God is the source of all peace. And he desires to give us peace. He desired it so much we see that the inception of peace for mankind was the birth of Jesus Christ. While Christ lived on this earth, he walked about seeking to bring peace in men's life. And we know that now he still desires for us to have peace. In John chapter 14 and verse 27, Christ said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you." I'm losing it. "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." The world can't offer us peace. And the world doesn't give things in the way that Jesus Christ gives things. The world likes to give things and then take it back from us. Let me tell you something tonight. You get the peace of God. God doesn't take that peace back away from you. Oh, we can do a lot of things to get ourselves outside of the peace of God, but God is not going to steal peace away from you. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you," he said, "not as the world giveth, give I unto you." Jesus Christ is the source of peace. So how is it that we are going to obtain the peace of God? It said, first of all, you must understand that God is the source of peace. We saw that he desires for us to have peace. He's done that in the person of Jesus Christ. But as you know, we still have things that we must do. Peace is not, hey, if that were it, every single person in here could raise their hand, "Yep, I'm living in the peace of God every single day of my life." But no, there's things that we have to do. You think of the Levites as they had to cross over, the children of Israel as they had to cross over the Jordan River. There were some things that they had to do. God gave them some promises, right? "Hey, I'm going to do this. You're going to go there. The Levites, the priests are going to carry the Ark of the Covenant down to the River of Jordan. And when was the water going to divide? As soon as the heel of their foot touched the water." There had to be some action. There was something that the children of Israel had to do. Yes, they had to have faith, but they had to follow that up with their works. And don't get me wrong, I'm not talking about your salvation tonight, all right? Faith in Jesus Christ and faith alone. But in order for us to experience the peace of God, there's going to be some things that we have to do. The first thing is we're going to have to actually seek after that peace. The psalmist wrote, David wrote in Psalm 109 and verse 1, "Hold not thy peace, O God of my praise." David cried out for the peace of God. Asaph in Psalm 83 and verse 1 said, "Keep not thou silence, O God. Hold not thy peace, and be not still, O God." If you are without peace tonight, if you are living in fear and living in anxiety, let me ask you the question, have you cried out to the Lord? Have you cried out to the source of peace and asked for the peace of God? First thing you got to do is seek after the peace. One of the other things you have to do, the second thing you got to do, is you've got to yield yourself to the Holy Spirit of God. You know, peace is not just an emotion that we drum up. Peace is the fruit of the Holy Spirit in a believer's life. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace." If you're going to have peace in your life, you've got to be submitted to the Holy Spirit of God. And that means being submitted to the will of God in your life. Amen? Can't expect that you're going to ignore God's will for your life and experience peace on a day-to-day basis. I don't know what God's will is for your life. And it may be as simple as being a nursery worker downstairs. And that's not simple. Amen, for those of you who are doing it. That may be God's will for your life. I'm going to tell you, you're not going to be able to consistently have peace in your life if you ignore that will. Because what are you doing? You're not submitting to the Holy Spirit of God. If you're not submitting to the Holy Spirit of God, how is the Holy Spirit of God going to manifest His fruit of peace in you? So we must yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit of God if we expect to have peace in our lives. We must heed His Word in our lives. Psalm 119 and 165 says, "Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." Another question comes with that verse. How will you love the law if you are never in the book? Amen. How many believers spend their life seeking after peace? They're in anxiety. cares of this world are bringing them down, and this book sits on the shelf. They don't seek after the source of peace. In order for us to have peace, we're going to have to yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit of God. We're going to have to heed His word in our lives. And finally, we're going to have to turn over our cares to the one who's able to handle them. Why do we stop short? Jesus Christ desired for us to have peace with God enough that He came here on earth, died on the cross of Calvary, rose again, now sits on the right hand of the throne of God, making intercession for us. He's done all that. Don't you think He still wants you to have peace in His life? Don't you think He's willing to take your cares? Don't you think He's willing to listen to the burdens that rob you of the peace within your life? 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7 is casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. There's got to be a time in your life when whatever it is that's bringing you down, whether it's sin, whether it's the weight of the world, whether it's folks that are just against you and against you and against you, there's got to be a time when you take that to the altar. Say, Lord, I can't bring peace about on my own. I can't muster up peace. I've got to yield to your Holy Spirit. I've got to leave what's robbing me of peace at the altar of Jesus Christ. Go ahead and turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. What's one of the ways? How are we going to do that? How are we going to cast all of our care upon Him? Philippians chapter 4. Look at verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer. Let me just stop right there. I already said, in order for us to have peace, we have to heed God's word. So many Christians today never even get into God's word. And now we're saying that if we want peace in our life, if we want to be able to cast our burdens, cast our cares, the things that rob us of peace at Jesus' feet, we have to pray. How many Christians go through a day and never utter one single word of prayer? Well, maybe in the morning, quick on your way out the door as you grab your coat, Lord, help me have a good day. Thank you for the cereal. But how often throughout the day? Pray without ceasing. The little kids last Wednesday were quoting the verses. Pray without ceasing. How often throughout the day do you pray? When the anxieties come along, when the burdens come along and your peace is robbed, pray. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Turn over to the book of Acts real quick. I want to show you a little bit of comparing and contrasting. You know, we looked and we saw the disciples as they're in the boat and they're facing the waves and they're facing the storm, and all of them are crying out, Jesus, don't you care if we perish? I want to show you an example of somebody who is able to have peace in the midst of the storm. Acts chapter 27, we know this to be Paul's journey. He's on his way to Rome. He's finally getting to the destination where he's so long wanted to get. In Acts chapter 27, won't take the time to read the entire thing, but he is a prisoner on his way to Rome, and he's on the ship. Verse 14, but not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon, and when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, strake sail, and so we were driven. You get a picture of what's going on here. The boat is falling apart. They're getting tossed around to and fro. We being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, in verse 18, the next day they lightened the ship. The third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship, and when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me. Don't you love that? I told you so.
Sirs,
ye should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. Now get this. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer.
Yeah.
Talk about the eternal optimist, right?
Yeah.
Hey, the boat's falling apart. We had to strap it. We're throwing out everything that has weight, and the food's the next thing to go. But be of good cheer. The Apostle Paul understood the peace of God.
Amen.
The peace that passeth all understanding. And I'm sure all 276 souls on board of that ship were looking at him like he was crazy. And they didn't understand the peace that Paul was able to have. And you go on and you read the story, and eventually it gets to the point where no, we are going to crash. We're going to run the boat ashore, and it's going to fall apart. But Paul once again says, don't worry. Everything's going to be okay. Not one man is going to lose their life. Paul understood the peace of God. He understood that Jesus Christ was the source of that peace. And Paul was spending some time praying. You see there in verse 21, it says, but after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and says, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me. You keep going down there in verse 23, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. I'm sure Paul was on his knees praying. Folks, that's what we're going to have to do. If we want to get rid of the things that rob us of our peace, we're going to have to spend some time on our knees praying. So we need to turn over our cares to Him. First, I said, we've got to seek after peace. It's got to be something like the psalmist cried out, hold not thy peace from me. We're going to have to seek after it. We're going to have to yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit of God. You'll not have peace in your life if you're not yielded to His will in your life. You'll not have peace in your life if you don't heed the Word of God. And you must read it in order to heed it. And then you will not have peace if you don't turn over your cares to Jesus Christ, the one that desires to take your burdens. He cares for you. He said, cast all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. I want to talk briefly about some of the characteristics of the peace. First of all, with respect to peace with God. You know, peace with God is not a function of feeling. Peace with God is a fact. From God's holy word, when you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are at peace with God. Boy, if it were based on feelings, man, I'd be at peace today with God. Tomorrow, as soon as I messed up, I'd be an enemy of Jesus Christ again. But no, the peace with God is based on fact, not based on feeling. It is a promise of God, whether we feel like we're at peace or not, whether other people believe that we are at peace or not. Peace with God is a fact based on our faith in Jesus Christ. Now, the peace of God, one of the characteristics of the peace of God, is that it surpasses our circumstances. You know, it does not matter how bad things get here on earth. In John chapter 16 and verse 33, Jesus said, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Things are getting bad, folks. Jesus Christ is close to coming. And things are getting bad, and they're only going to get worse. But the peace of God does not regard circumstance. It doesn't matter what's going on out in this world. We don't need to let this world and the things that are happening rob us of our peace. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying just go lock yourself in a room and don't ever listen to what's going on so that you don't have to hear it, so that you can maintain peace. And I'm not saying don't stand up for what's right, as Pastor preached in the message. We need to stand up for what is right. We need to stand against what is wrong. But listen, no matter how bad it gets, no matter how many deaf ears turn to our preaching of standing up for what is right and against what is wrong, we can still have peace. That does not need to rob us of the peace that is in our lives. And I'm just afraid that so many Christians today are being robbed of the peace of God because of everything that's going on in this world. That does not have to happen to the child of Christ, the child of God. So peace with God is based on fact, not on feeling. The peace of God surpasses circumstances. And you know, the peace of God comes when we need it the most. Back there in Mark chapter 4 and verse 39. Well, verse 38. Would you say that the disciples were in need of some peace at this time? They were fearful for their own lives. The boat was filling up with water. They're going down. I gotta tell you the story because it makes me look like a coward. When we were in Hawaii, and yeah, Brother Dave, Hawaii. When we were in Hawaii, we got on this super ferry, they call it, and we're going to go from one island to the other island. And this is a big boat, mind you, and I've been on little boats out in the lake or in the river and stuff like that. I've never been on a ship, amen? I'm sorry, for Navy, it's a ship. This was a ship, I think, okay? It was big. And it's my only classification. Boat small, ship big. Okay. This thing was big, right? And I'm thinking, you know, you can go over some pretty good waves with this without really feeling too much. Well, it just so happened that the Hawaiian Islands were experiencing the worst storm that they had seen in 30 years. And everything is nice in the harbor. I mean, nice, and it's raining. We get on there. We all get seated. We all sat down in our seats. We got our cars parked. It's one of those ferries, you know, so we parked our cars in there. And the captain comes on and says, well, folks, we're just waiting for this storm to kind of push through a little bit. It's kind of a rough spot right now, and we're waiting. Okay, no big deal, right? Probably a lot of rain, maybe some wind. I don't know. We sit there for about 3 hours doing this. Every half hour, the captain comes on. Okay, folks, we're just waiting a little bit longer for this to pass through. Finally, the moment came, and the captain says, all right, folks, we're going to push out from the harbor, and we're going to give it a shot. Not words you want to hear. Especially in an airplane, but definitely not on a boat either, or a ship either. We're going to give it a shot, and let me tell you, he gave it a shot. It was a valiant effort is what it was. We pulled out of that harbor. I kid you not, you ask my kids. We pulled out of that harbor, and immediately the front end of the boat went up, and I was at a 45-degree angle inclined backwards and slammed down when we hit the trough of that boat. And any Navy guys that are in here, you're probably just laughing right now saying, that's nothing. Went through that for 6 months every other year. But let me tell you, I was scared. I needed some peace at that time. And I was about ready to call out, Master, carest thou not that we perish? The disciples were going through that. Probably much, much worse than what I went through. They, keep in mind, they're seasoned fishermen, so if they were afraid, something must have been really bad. But that's what the disciples were going through. They cried out to Jesus Christ at their time of need. Folks, Jesus Christ is there at your time of need. You need peace in your life tonight. Jesus Christ is here tonight to give you that peace. When we're fearful, and when it's most needed, we can find the peace of God. Talk to you tonight about how it is that you're going to have peace in your life. First of all, you've got to realize the source of peace. Well, first of all, you got to be at peace with God, amen? If you're not saved tonight, tonight can be the night when you are at peace with God. You need to come tonight and accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. For those of us who are saved, if you are seeking after the peace of God in your life, you've let the cares of this world, you've let sin in your life, you've let anxiety rob you of that peace. It can be restored tonight by going to the source of peace, the God of peace. It can be restored tonight by yielding yourself to the Holy Spirit of God and His will for your life. It can be restored tonight by forsaking those sins that you've been hanging on to, confessing them before God, and He can restore that peace. It can be restored tonight when you go to Him and you cast your cares on Him. I want to leave you with one final thought, though, before we leave tonight. And that is, how are you doing at sharing this peace with a world that has no peace? Romans chapter 10 and verse 15 says, how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. and bring glad tidings of good things. Folks, peace in your life is a good thing. Pastor asked me to give a little bit of a testimony about the young man that experienced peace with God today. I mean it when I said the light bulb turned on. 30 years this man has lived looking for filling that void, looking for peace. And folks, we come into contact each and every day.
Yes.
People just like him,
yes,
waiting,
right,
for somebody to share the gospel,
yes,
of peace,
right,
to bring the glad tidings of good things. And let me tell you, he was glad when he heard there was a way to have peace,
amen,
with God. How are you doing? How am I doing at sharing the peace of God? Seeking after. There's a lost world out there. They're seeking after peace. Christians today are seeking after peace. I'm here to tell you tonight, you can have peace in your life. Are you going to have ups and downs? Yeah. And that's when we get to get on our knees again and go to the one, the master that does care if we perish, the master that does care if our peace has been robbed, and he'll be willing, able, and ready to restore peace in your life. Pastor.
Wasn't that a blessing? Let's pray. I wonder why we're praying tonight. Maybe you came tonight and you really need some peace. And what Brother Mike shared with you tonight, the Lord used to touch your heart. And you'd say, preacher, my life is really troubled, and I do need that peace. Will you pray for me? Just raise that hand. Yes, 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 ma'am. Oh, my, all over. Who else? Pray for me. I see that hand. God bless you. Yes, sir. I'm seeking peace. I know we live in a real troubled world. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you'll never know peace. You'll never know peace till Christ comes into your heart. You're here and you say, preacher, I really don't know if I died, I'd go to heaven. But I don't want to die and go to hell. Pray for me. I'd like to know when I die, go to heaven. Would you pray for me? Just raise a hand. Won't come to you, but I'll pray for you. See a little hand. Anyone else? Pray for me. Pray for me. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. Not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I'd sure like to know when I died, I'd go to heaven. Heavenly Father, you saw the hands of the folks. Many of them said they needed peace. Help them to draw nigh to God tonight. Help them to seek your face. Lord, we need to find ourselves on our knees. Lord, I pray with all my heart, if there's anybody here that doesn't know you as Savior, tonight they'll come to the free pardon of sin. That young man this morning, he found the real peace in life. He asked Christ to save him. And I pray, if there's anyone tonight that's never done that, may they know real peace from Christ. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. We'll sing a verse. What page am I, Mark? 125.
Wonderful peace.
Sing another verse. People are praying. Great challenge, a great sharing that Brother Mike shared with you tonight about having peace. Speaking about Hawaii, Brother Mike, I remember when we were coming back from Maui, coming back from the bigger island to go back to this 48. They were telling us that there was something wrong with the plane. They really did. And they put a scare on all of us, even the preacher, because when you're up that high, I bowed my head, and I said, because they had the engines, they had the things started up, and it was a delay, but then they finally got started, and I said, Lord, and they started to pull out, and I said, Lord, if this plane's not supposed to go up right now, would you stop this plane right now? And that plane stopped. The engines went right out. The light. And I said, hallelujah.
Amen.
And boy, everybody was panicking. They wanted to jump off the ship, you know. And I just bowed my head again. I said, Lord, my whole family's with me. Wife, my children. I said, you know if this plane can make it back to Detroit, Michigan or not. And I said, Lord, if you can get it back to Detroit, Michigan, let the engine start up. Lord, if it doesn't, if it can't, don't let it start. And about 15 minutes later, it started. And a lot of people were afraid, but I wasn't. Because I said, don't be afraid. I just asked God. I asked him, don't let it start up. I told that to Tammy. I said, I just talked to the Lord. And Brother Mike, I did have peace. And that only comes from God. Yes. In the midst of a storm, it was scary. I can't imagine that ship going boom, boom. I would never went like that. At least I was on land at the time. But I don't know what storm you're in or what you're facing. But we have a God, and he's the source. We can draw. He has a reservoir. You ever see those big water reservoirs? And he has a reservoir of all kinds of peace to give us. All we got to do is draw from that.
Yes.
If you need peace today, boy, Brother Mike, don't go to the world.
Yep.
It won't help you.
Yep.
Seek the Lord. You'll be glad you did.